I want to so thank our tech team this morning, comprised of Mark. For those of you who have not seen the live stream in the last couple of weeks, we're using a studio grade, commercial grade camera now. Last week was the first week, and if you have had the opportunity to see that, wonderful. If not, the next time you're homesick and you want to tune into church and not miss a thing that's going on, I trust the picture will be a little better than our $100 webcam that we've been using for the last 5 years. So, our tech team this morning, comprised of Mark, Mike, Devin, and Brad, I just want to thank you. My folks, yeah, let's thank them. Thank you, guys. My folks, of course, many of you know my dad recovering from triple open heart bypass, are anxious to get back and worship with us. But they said, we're gonna try it this Sunday, but then I got a text earlier and we're just not quite ready yet. So I know that they're joining us in worship today, and I can't tell you how much it means to me for our tech team to work so hard to get here so early and make sure everything's working so that people like my folks can not miss a beat and be in connection and worship with us. And Brandon's grandparents, Don and June Carroll, and Joan Carroll, are often with us. I trust you're with us again this morning. I get notes from them and phone calls from them, they appreciate being able to join us via live stream. And others who are with us this morning, I imagine that Stella Young, Bill's mom, is with us today via live stream, and we just want to thank you for trekking along with us here. If you can't be here in person, thanks for being on our live stream today. How many choices did you have to make to be here today? I would venture to say quite a few. Not only did you have to decide that you were going to be here, but you had to think about what you're going to wear. You had to think about what you're going to do to yourself to make yourself presentable. You had to think about what car you were going to take. You had to think about the route you were going to choose to be here today. We're going to be faced with more and more choices as the day unfolds, aren't we? Each day we are confronted with choices. Some of the choices we make have very little impact on what happens for eternity. For instance, sometimes I just put my hair on the other side, I part it on the other side, just to see if anybody notices. Nobody cares.
I do that with mine.
You do that? Now with your, we can tell, Steve. We can tell with yours. But there are other huge choices that we make that have an incredible impact on us and even our eternity. Choices like what we are going to do with the rest of our life. Who are we going to choose to marry, perhaps? Are we going to have children? Are huge. Cannot be underestimated. Then we have a whole other set of choices dealing with our daily conduct, our daily behavior, things that we do in our interpersonal relationships and our connections with each other have a huge impact. John MacArthur writes in his commentary on Matthew, "Our lives are filled with decisions. What to wear, what to eat, where to go, what to do, what to say, what to buy, whom to marry, what career to follow, and on and on. Many decisions are trivial and insignificant, but some are essential and life-changing. The most critical of all is our decision as to whether or not we are going to follow Jesus Christ as our Savior." That's the ultimate choice. It determines our eternal destiny. God has given us a choice to make. Allow me to add to John MacArthur's statement this morning. For some of us, eternity, and for me to even talk about heaven and hell this morning, seems like a distant, fuzzy fantasy or horror story. But for some of us, eternity is coming closer and closer into view. because we're getting older and older. And Mark and I were talking in small groups yesterday morning at the men's group. He said, the older I get, the reality is my chances of survival are going down. And that's true for all of us. The older we get, we're getting closer to really realizing, and the reality is none of us are going to make it through this alive unless we're called home to heaven before that time in the rapture. The most important choice we'll make is whether or not we're going to follow Jesus. All other decisions simply hinge on that one point. Just as history is divided between BC and AD, so is everything in our life. The reality is everything hinges on Jesus. In our passage this morning, let's take a look at two paths that Jesus tells us we have to choose from. Matthew chapter 7. That picture there, we're going to go back to it, but that is a picture of the High Five highways in Houston, Texas. It may have been artistically embellished a bit, but it's bad. For those of you who've ever been there, it's bad. Oh, yeah. Our trucker, Todd here this morning says it's bad when you got to drive a big wheel through there. All right. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. Let's stand in honor of God's word. Are you still getting a little feedback this morning out there? Okay, I'm getting it back here. I can live with it if you can. All right. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Would you read with me? Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Thank you. You may be seated. Everybody okay? Sorry about that. Everybody's awake? We can blame that on tech, but it was really my ploy to make sure you all awake, all right? Yeah, okay. Jesus here is elaborating on the golden rule. For you see, earlier in the passage that we're talking about today, the good news of the kingdom, Jesus has shocked his hearers, and he said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you'll never make it. You'll never enter the kingdom of God unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees. And as Jesus is preaching this Sermon on the Mount, and he expounds and he expounds and he expounds, we're preaching now how many weeks? Probably 15 weeks on this sermon. Jesus continues. The good news of the kingdom is this: unless your righteousness exceeds the professional righteous guys, the guys who do this as an example for all of us, unless your righteousness exceeds theirs, you'll never make it. And I imagine there was an incredible gasp in the crowd as they were trying to figure out what in the world Jesus was saying. It all goes back to that point as we interpret the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus brings us now into view of two gates, two ways or two paths or two roads. The first contrast we'll look at this morning is what it means to enter a gate. Now, we've talked about all the decisions that we make in life, but to enter a gate, Jesus is referring to our eternal destiny. What he's saying is he has given us the ability and the freedom, and he loves us enough and respects us enough as his creation to give us a choice. And in front of us are two gates. One is wide and one is narrow. But the point of this first Roman numeral one this morning is that we are all making a decision. And even if we feel like we're not ready to make that decision or we're not ready to make a commitment, just by virtue of not making a commitment, you are choosing one gate or another. You're choosing the wide gate. I am here as your pastor this morning to bring you to a point of decision, to offer you an invitation today. And from the pages of God's Word, I want to offer you an invitation to walk through the narrow gate. And we'll talk about what that is this morning. First, the wide gate. This is a real picture, not embellished. This is in Beijing, China. How would you like to do that on your commute in the morning? Todd says I do it every day. Pretty fast, yep. The wide gate is one of the choices that we are offered. Notice that Jesus gives us the choice as to which one we are going to enter, the gate, the narrow, or the wide. The wide gate's easy to enter. Well, it doesn't look so easy here, but the point is, you don't have to choose to put down anything to enter the wide gate. You can take it all with you. How many of you have ever bought an appliance and realize that you're going to have to take the door off the hinges, and then you're going to have to take that little strip off the door, and then you're thinking, I'm still not sure it's going to fit. That's the idea. With the wide gate, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about if everything that you ever want is going to fit through the door, because it all fits. You can take everything with you. It's all up to you. The gate is wide. It's easy to enter. Many people can go through it at the same time. When we go somewhere, we would naturally choose to go through a wide door as opposed to a narrow door. We don't like to be squeezed in. The wide gate is wide because more people will choose to enter it, Jesus said. The nice thing about the wide gate is that we can take anything we want with us. Wide doors are inviting. On our journey through life, we will want to take as much baggage with us as we possibly can. None of us here would admit to being hoarders, but I wonder if sometimes God sees us that way. He looks at us and he says, why are you keeping that bad attitude? You don't need that. It's like, God, I really do need it. Why are you keeping that hold of that relationship that is just toxic to you? God, I really do need it. He's like, and this stuff just keeps piling up. Why are you keeping hold of that addiction? Well, God, I need it. So it just piles on, and we're thinking, I can't get through a narrow gate with all this, but I need this stuff. As we stand at the wide gate, we peer down the path, and it looks very wide and inviting. This is, I think, Seattle's skyline. It looks just like, look at the opportunity. If I get on this road, I've got all of that in front of me. I've got multiple career choices. Look at all of the people that I will meet. And I've got lots of traveling buddies. And they're all supportive in my choice of just going down the road without any limitations placed on me. And then there's the narrow gate. The narrow gate does not have room enough only except for you. You must leave all the baggage behind. Jesus tells us to pick up our cross and follow him daily. This implies that our agenda, our reason for living, our purpose and our fulfillment, the reason we're here is to be a follower of Jesus, who is a minimalist compared to, oh, how we like to hoard stuff. Jesus didn't even have a home. I'm not suggesting y'all be homeless. But he really sets the pace here and reminds us that what this is all really about is how much God loves us and how much he wants all of us to be in heaven with him. There's no room for chasing after the world and its pleasures, no room for an unforgiving spirit, there's no room for self-righteousness. The narrow gate won't be very easy to get through. It's not because it's specifically designed to be difficult, it's just that we want to carry so much stuff with us. Stuff that we think we have found our identity in our younger years, and we think, if I lose that, if I put that down, if I separate myself from that, I won't know who I am anymore. Jesus said, that's fine, because your identity is not found in those things, those behaviors, those attitudes, those actions, those mindsets. Your identity is in me and me alone. Amen? So as we move forward through the narrow gate, making the decision that I am who I am only in Christ. In Christ alone. Luke 13:24 said, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter, but won't be able to. Jesus said that in Luke. Jesus tells us that we must strive or put out a great effort to enter through the gate, the narrow gate. It's not narrow because not many will choose to enter it. It's narrow because Jesus said, only you needs to go through it. The key here is decision. God allows us all the ability to choose. He wants us to choose him, not because we are forced to, but because we are making a choice to do so. The path. As we stand at the crossroads, we are confronted by two gates, the narrow and the wide. And once we enter those gates, Jesus goes on to describe the path. The narrow path and the wide path. Let's look at the wide path first. The wide path is the path most traveled. It's the easy path. And as I said before, you don't have to do anything to walk in this path. You just be carried along by the current. You don't have to limit your choices. You don't have to make decisions. You can kind of just float along, and the current of culture will take you through this gate and take you through and down this path. The path is wide because there are many ways that lead to destruction, Jesus said. Some will travel down substance abuse street. Some will travel down Pride Avenue, others will travel down Materialism Way, some will travel down Sexual Sins Estate Road, some will take Hate Street, or they'll walk down Murder Avenue. Some will just stroll along Apathy Lane. The wide gate opens into a wide way where many can take the path, the interstate really. The wide paths have many ways that you can take and still stay on the path. And while there may have been a little bit of photoshopping done on this, I think it illustrates the same truth, and that is we feel like we can manipulate the elements of our life and still get where we need to go. In effect, create our own destiny. Jesus said no. No. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, it seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death." All of the great injustices of history have been committed in the name of unchecked and unbridled majority rule. While we live in a democracy where the majority makes the rules, our morality does not come and is not defined by the majority. Many people, even in the church, wrongly conclude that if something is legal, it must be moral. And their understanding of what moral is has to do with what is legal and illegal. It's a very loose, very, very loose definition of what trying to figure out a mode of conduct. Jesus affirms that we have a legal system with laws and checks and balances. That's good. But you see, our morality, our code of conduct, does not come from whether or not it's stated as legal or illegal. I believe that we once lived in a nation where the majority of people recognized the authority of Scripture and the truth of God, but not so much so today. We live in a post-Christian era. How much more then shall we as followers of Jesus know what the Bible says and be guided by the Holy Spirit? Please do not be deceived by the loud voice of majority morality. The wide path is the one that most of the people will be on. It's the majority. Jesus said, most people will travel the wide road. We can expect that the majority will have a very high influence in speaking into our lives and speaking into culture. But Jesus said, just because everybody else is doing it or most people are doing it doesn't make it right. The wide path is the one that most people will be on. It's the path that most of the people would encourage you to travel on. It's the easy way. Even people once on track and on fire for God can allow the crowd to cool our passion and take us off an exit, a detour. One day in Matthew chapter 24, coming close to the end of Jesus' ministry here on earth, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, what will it look like at the end of the age? What will it look like before you come again?" And Jesus said, "There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be earthquakes and famines, and all these are just the beginning of birth pains." Jesus says, but here's how you're going to know in Matthew chapter 24. He said, "The love of most will grow cold." Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. And you see, I think that speaks powerfully as to once we get on this, if we choose this narrow road, if we choose this narrow path and we're walking along, we can be swayed by the majority for our love to cool as the voice of the majority continues to speak. The majority of people will follow the wide path. But you know, it really doesn't matter what 99% of Americans think. It is rather what Jesus says and who he is that matters. I'm thankful to be an American citizen, don't get me wrong. But my morality does not come from the legislative body of Congress or the Senate or even what the president says. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. People are blinded to the truth. In 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, it says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." The narrow path describes that Jesus is the only way to salvation. That means that Islam will not give you a new life. That means that Buddhism, Hinduism, will not give you new life. Now, don't get me wrong, I mean no disrespect, and there are elements of truth that reflect the glory of God in the other religions of the world. However, when we get down to what foundation, the foundation of Christ, everything else is a shadow and a copy or a cheap imitation. It is only in Christ that we find new life. And I invite anyone who is of a different faith to enter dialogue and to begin to explore who Jesus is. You know that we believe here at Living Well that part of the reason that we are here is to have relationships with those who have not yet received Christ as our Savior. And that can include atheists, agnostics, adherents of other faiths. But it doesn't change the fact that we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And this is simply an invitation. I respect you. Our church respects you if you have a different faith than that of believing Jesus Christ is the Savior and the Son of God. But it doesn't change the fact. I still love you. We still love you. But it doesn't change the fact we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? And we have found that this is where the life is. This is where we have relationship with God. And we joyfully invite you to experience relationship with Jesus. As followers of Jesus, we're not seeking a code, a moral code. We're not seeking a religion. We are seeking relationship with Jesus. And the Bible says that they will know that they're Christians by their love. It means that the primary distinguishing characteristic that even distinguishes us from all the other religions in the world, we don't get to God by works. We don't get to God by you know, good looks. We are pursued by God because He loves us. And God went to such great lengths to make sure that we understood His love. He gave us an opportunity to accept and choose a different road. That's exclusive, I know. Say, Pastor, that's a pretty narrow mindset. Luke chapter 13, verse 24 says, "Strive to enter the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter it, but will not be able to." It's just too difficult. The word narrow means difficult to be entered. Access is not denied to people. It's just that they just can't get through it carrying all the stuff that they want to take with them. Boy, all of us can identify with that who accepted Jesus as our Savior. There came a time when all the junk of the world and all of our past and all of the failures and everything that we accumulated along the way just got overwhelmingly heavy, and we couldn't any longer, and decided that the best thing for us to do was to accept the invitation of Jesus. Many of us came to Him in desperation when there was nowhere else to turn, but all of us come in humility and in repentance, realizing that our attempts at building a life failed. that we have made a mess of a lot of things. So we come to Him asking Him for forgiveness, believing that He is the Messiah sent from God. There's a growing tendency in our culture today that advocates just leave people alone. Just let them go do what they're going to do. Their way is just as legitimate as your way. Let me just say that Jesus never would have given us the Great Commission if He had wanted us to just leave people alone. He didn't leave us alone. Amen. He came and pursued you and me. Now for me, I didn't live in Jesus' time, but I lived in the age of the church, and I lived in a time, and I'm living in a time when God is using the church to pursue. It's called evangelism. It's called being able to share, being driven to share our faith. Because what we have found in Jesus is absolutely impossible to contain. This is the good news. And everybody likes to hear good news, right? Well, you would think so. If we're going to walk down the narrow road, we must have discipline and desire. Discipline because you see, there's all these exits and opportunities and possibilities. At least it seems that way. Immediately, the first thing that goes through our minds is, but if I choose the narrow road, there's going to my options are going to be so limited. Really, what's happening is you're just getting to your destination as you stay on the narrow road. And yeah, you're going to pass a lot of exits along the way, but you'll get to where God wants you to be. Amen? I could say so much about my own life right here, about the exits I've taken and the detours and the dead ends I've ended up at. So thankful that it's not like I didn't know, but I tried them anyway. But He is so gracious to allow me back on through His on-ramp of forgiveness and mercy and grace through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus. Philippians 3, 18 and 19 says, For many walk of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is their shame, and who set their minds on earthly things. You see, the reality is the end of the wide path is a dead end. You got that picture up there, Brad? It just ends. Now here's where you don't want me to talk about hell, right? But the reality is if we believe in heaven and we want the good stuff, we have to be ready to reckon with the truth that just because we like to believe the good stuff and the feel-good stuff of Scripture, it doesn't invalidate the things that we would rather not hear about. And we're a pick-and-choose culture, aren't we? We would like to choose that God is love, that He is a God of grace, He's a God of forgiveness, that there is a great heaven. And oh yeah, let's go. Don't talk to me about hell. Don't talk to me about judgment. Don't talk to me that there are going to be consequences to pay for my actions. Because God is love, He loves me, there's grace, and there's heaven to gain. Would you with me for just a moment be open to the fact that what if it is really what the Bible says it is? you don't have to believe me. There's two sermons going on right now. There's mine. I'm doing my best. Hope I'm not clogging things up for you too bad. But the Holy Spirit is speaking now. What if all the good stuff is there and true and awesome, but all the stuff that we'd rather not hear about is just as true? That's why Jesus said, "Wide is the gate." And most people will be on that one, but narrow is the gate and narrow is the way, and few are going to be traveling that road. Those few are going to look at the entirety of Scripture and say, you know, there's some stuff that makes me squirm here. There's some stuff that really limits my choices. There's some stuff that really cuts down my freedom, or so it seems. But those who are walking on the narrow road say, you know what? Through the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, through the life of Jesus and His divinely inspired book, the Bible, I'm getting a picture of who God really is. Just a thought. What if it's all true? Amen. Well, I'm coming in for a landing here. Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Keep on keeping on. The narrow path is a path of discipline. Initially, it may appear that your options are limited. However, what is actually happening is you're arriving at your divinely appointed destination. So what does it look like for a person to travel on the narrow road today? What does it look like for a family to travel the narrow road? What does it look like for a dating couple to travel the narrow road? What does it look like for a person with an attraction to a person of the same sex look like to travel the narrow road? What does a person with tendencies toward addictive substances, what does their life look like to travel the narrow road? What does it look like for a person, one of those never miss a church services person, to walk down the narrow road? What does it look like for a new parent to walk down the narrow? What does it look like for a teenager, a young adult, to walk down the narrow road? What does it look like for a pastor, a board member, a small group leader, to walk down the narrow road? Perhaps it could be summed up as a person who walks the narrow road will be willing to be led by Jesus in ways of righteousness. A person who walks down the narrow road will stand out as resembling Jesus, loving God and loving his neighbor, and will leave all the details as Jesus has. He is our leader, he is our Savior, he is our Lord. The Holy Spirit says, John, there's so many things that culture wants to write a rule about. Would you just let my Spirit be at work in the lives of believers and just present the invitation to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, and let the Holy Spirit do his powerful work that so goes above writing rules and codes of conduct. Everybody okay? In John chapter 6, around about there in verse 50, Jesus said, my blood is real drink, and my body is real food. Unless you drink my blood and eat my body, you'll have no part of me. And the disciples were understandably disturbed. It's then in John chapter 6 that John records that the disciples began to kind of, well, many of them began to walk away. And they said, this is a hard teaching.
What do you mean? It means that being part of His body is a full recognition, not only of what He has done for us, but who we are together in Christ. This is a spiritual truth. Sometimes it just takes time to understand. Hang in there. Keep on the narrow road. At the end of the narrow path, you will find life. Life eternal. And while we're walking today with Jesus, there will be life and life to the full. Amen. Joshua 24, 13 and 15. Upon entering the promised land, Joshua told the people to choose this day whom they would serve. God never forced people to follow Him. He always gives us His choice. And we all find ourselves at crossroads of faith. We must choose today whom we will serve. Joshua 24:15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're now living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's very narrow, I know. It's very narrow. In this age of enlightenment, but not only do I believe this is true, reality is, and even if there was no eternity, I'm finding that life would be really boring, or very depressing, or so hard that I couldn't manage it without Jesus. It may sound like a weakness to you today, but I don't think so. I'm preaching to the choir here, I believe, but I couldn't make it without Jesus. He is my life. I don't think I'd be alive today without Him. Enter the narrow gate and walk the narrow road, Jesus reminds us. What a beautiful invitation. Let's pray. Today, Lord, we thank You that You have offered to us a different way, a different path. And Lord, I feel like I didn't do Your words justice this morning, but I know that Your Holy Spirit is faithful. And I know, Lord, that today, through the ministry of Your Holy Spirit, You will have done the speaking, You will have done the talking, You will have done the convicting, You will have said what needs to be said. So Lord, we're just going to trust You with that today. And I have sought to facilitate that, but Lord, ultimately it is Your Holy Spirit that is speaking now in hearts and lives, bringing us to a point of decision. And for anyone who is here this morning who has not yet come to know Jesus as your personal Savior, but you would like to today, I want to pray a simple prayer. And if in your spirit it's something that you can agree with and pray with me on, please do so. You could pray out loud or you can pray silently. But I want to give you an opportunity this morning to get on a different road. I want to give you an opportunity to step off of the fast lane and walk through the narrow gate and on the narrow road with Jesus. Let's pray. I'm going to pray what we would call a prayer of repentance, a sinner's prayer, a prayer that says, God, I need you to save me from myself. I want to walk with you on the road that you have chosen. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for speaking through this GPS this morning, this Holy Spirit's voice that says, turn here now. Your life depends on it. There is a dead end ahead. Turn now. Father, forgive me for just disregarding all of the invitations that you've given me. Forgive me for my pride. Forgive me for just believing that I can pick and choose my theology, I can pick and choose my doctrine, and I'm in charge. I'm good. Forgive me, God. I see from the pages of your word, I see in red this morning that you said to enter the narrow gate and walk the narrow path. And today I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow you. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for providing for me a way back to the faith, a way back to salvation, a way back provided by your blood. And today we fully participate in the sacrifice that you have made for us, bringing it all the way down to the individual now. I receive this free gift of salvation provided by your blood. Rescue me from the majority morality of our culture. Bring me to who you are, who you said you are, your truth, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And I stake my life on this truth now. Thank you for being my Savior. Thank you for being my Lord. Thank you for showing me the way. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have received Jesus as your Savior this morning, I want to welcome you to the family of God. I joined the family when I was about 5 years old. And I had a lot to learn, and I made a lot of mistakes along the way, but I can tell you that that day Jesus Christ saved me, and I'll never forget it. Today may be the day that you have heard God's voice in a new way, fresh and anew, that totally is going to change your life. I encourage you to share your faith today. After the service is complete, would you talk to someone that you know of here in the congregation that is a follower of Jesus, and just share the fact that you have chosen a different road today. You've chosen to leave the majority and join Jesus on the narrow road, and you will find support and encouragement. If you'd like to talk with me, I'd be happy to talk with you. Tell somebody about what Jesus has done in your life, and you will be encouraged, and so will the church, by your faith. Cheryl, would you come and tell us
about 30 days of challenge.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. You are my brothers and my sisters. I don't come here every Sunday to just sit in a chair. I come to be with my family. And that's been very evident in my life lately, that I need you. And I hope and I pray that you need me too. So one day I was in my car, and I've got my jams, I got my Jesus, I got my Java, and I was just praying, where do I go? Where do I fit in at church? What do I need to do? And it was laid upon my heart. I don't know if any of you have ever been over to the Scott's home during Christmas, but they do paper chains. And on those paper chains is a name of a family that they pray for every single day. And I want to invite you to take that challenge with me too. If we do something for 30 days, it's habit. And I want to be praying for you for 30 days. I want to know that you're praying for me for 30 days. So in here, we have multiple totes. And each family has been made a 30-day paper chain. Each one of these links is going to ask you to do something. I encourage you to do it, and I encourage you to share with each one of us what you've been led to do and how it's impacted your life. I know some will want to go home and read them all at once. take it day by day. Let the Holy Spirit guide you, and I ask the Holy Spirit guide us as well. Those are for the people here. We are going to do something if you're listening online. I invite you to go to livingwellchurch.org on our Facebook page, and we will be setting up one online as well. Every single person's chain today is pray that God leads this 30-day Living Well Challenge. So I'm going to ask you, I want us to do this all together, and I think the Holy Spirit does too. I've been, lately, I'm humbled before the Lord when I get on my knees, and if you feel that you need to humbly ask yourself, do you place this before the Lord, then you can join me, or you can just bow your heads. Heavenly Father, I can't even pretend to know what you're going to do with this challenge. I can only know that you're going to change our hearts. You're going to bring us together. These chains are going to go into every home. I ask that you bless those chains and bless the homes that they enter. These papers are bright, so when we're having a bad day, I know that you are just going to light up our world and light up our life with each one of these chains, each one of these pieces of paper, each one of these families that these papers represent. I ask that your will be done in this. I ask that you bring us together. We are your family, and we want to do your works and your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so that's why I have him. So you're going to start at the bottom. And like I said, each one of them is, the first day is Pray for the Living Well Challenge. We'll have them back there. And then we'll check all the families' names off that take one. And if you're not here today, we are going to try and get one to you personally. So please take one and please do this with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. I was so excited when she called me about a month ago and said, I've got this idea
to present this 30-day challenge to the church so that we can all grow spiritually. And you know, your walk is going to look different than mine, how you are challenged by the Spirit, and that's good. Amen? So thank you, Cheryl. That represents an incredible amount of work. I know that you had help, Kristen, Steph,
Brian.
Whatever your wife says, I got a great idea.
Yeah. Just got an invitation right here. An invitation from Kristen and Cody for their wedding, which is on November 2nd. 7th, sorry, thank you. I want to rush these things. Last week you were here and I asked you to have an idea of how many people from your family would be in attendance. The wedding will be here, as well as the reception will be here as well. Would you raise your hand with some fingers on it and tell me about how many are planning on being from your family? Five, six, seven, eight, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 20.
Thank you.
You guys are just a barrel of monkeys, I'll tell you. Worship team. Stand together and sing, He leadeth me. He leadeth me. Oh, bless the thought. Oh, words with heavenly comfort bright. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand.
Grace of victory's won.
In death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
Amen. Down the narrow road. Praise God. Yes.
Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other. And for everyone else, just as ours does for you, may he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. You guys are dismissed, but give each other a hug before you go.